You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Thursday, 17 November, Republicans win the House, so Congress is split. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, we're chatting those SPAR results. The market did not like them. And then contrast the Woolies update, which the market did very much like. Scott Glow talking tech stocks. Are they finally looking attractive? They're certainly laying off staff left, right and center. And then we'll be talking and positioning your portfolio. Market's given us a little bit of respite, but where is their value? We'll be finding some ideas there. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Kruger Park coup as Eurowings Discover launches Frankfurt and Mpumalanga direct flights three times a week, all year round, return flights. It's a big deal for Mpumalanga to a degree, but yo, Kruger, definitely. Business Day, NASPAS gets 100 billion in good news from China. This as Tencent is to distribute its stake in Chinese food delivery business to shareholders. But if Tencent doesn't want it, do shareholders want it? Morning markets, the US was red overnight. S&P down 0.8% and NASDAQ off 1.5%. Asia is mixed, with Sydney slightly green, up 0.1%. Tokyo red, down 0.4%. Commodities, all red overnight. Gold, $1,766 an ounce. Brent, $91.94. Platinum, $1,010 an ounce. And palladium, $2,053 an ounce. Rand, $17.31. Bitcoin, $16,600. Tencent trading down 2.3% in the Hong Kong lunch break. And top 40 opening call, red open, 260 points down, 0.4%.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Joining now with Sintubele Bopela, investment analyst at FNB Wealth and Investments. Sintubele, appreciate the early morning. Those SPAR results, and there is a lot of moving parts there. There's, of course, Poland, there's Ireland, there's Switzerland, there's South Africa. South Africa is still about two-thirds of the business. The market did not like them. What do you think the market was objecting to?
Hi, Simon. I think the results, you know, the top line performance did come in a touch ahead of consensus, but I think the bottom line is where the market took some issues. You know, earnings missed full year expectations, and you know we saw that coming from the first half where HEPS was still positive, and so the pressure I think really came from the second half of the year if you sort of pull the numbers apart. And I mean, if we really look into the results, you know, the SPAR SA growth was good. On a combined basis, you know, wholesale grocery and liquid turnover increased quite robustly, I'd say. And all the geographic regions posted, you know, positive profits, except, you know, as you mentioned, Poland. They didn't realize a loss there. But, you know, at 2% of revenue, it is quite a small contributor to, you know, the bigger picture for SPAR. So this isn't, I think, too concerning. So I don't think this would have been too much of a, you know, an issue for the market. You know, Poland, I think the key focus there, you know, retailer loyalty, there were some assertive decisions that were taken, you know, terminating contracts with a group of retailers and restructuring, you know, the distribution center there. And with the recent, I think, Russia-Poland development, you know, there is some tensions there. There's likely, so the region could likely see perhaps, you know, a bit of a struggle to recover. But as I mentioned, very small contributor to, you know, total revenue for the group. I think the other issue perhaps came from, you know, management's outlook. It was quite a soft outlook, you know, and that coupled with them cutting, you know, the dividend in half was also a sore point. And it really is pointing to at least expectations for sustained pressure heading into the next financial year. You know, so locally, I think the economic backdrop isn't very inspiring. We are seeing a constrained consumer. You know, economic growth is low, business confidence is low, and, you know, with little, I guess, emphasis for change, the trading environment isn't expected, you know, to recover at least meaningfully in the short term. So Yeah, I think those are the main issues.
Yeah, and it is that dividend, and there's been issues around the dividend. The other side of the coin, of course, was Woolies. Not a bad update, and I think what everyone's perhaps looking at is fashion, because fashion's been, frankly, a bit of a disaster for Woolies, and fashion actually looked fairly good. Certainly, the market was liking the update.
Definitely. You know, it's a high margin business for the group, and we did see, you know, compared to last year, it is quite, you know, an improved, a good improvement. The benefits seem to have come mainly from they had reduced clearance sales, particularly in, you know, the fashion, beauty, and home space. And the proportion of full price sales grew strongly compared to, you know, they saw significantly lower markdowns compared to last year. So that would have been very supportive of margins. Mm-hmm. For the business. But overall, you know, there's a robust update. You know, they're seeing a solid recovery, both sales, both bottom line, as well the growth compared very favorably compared to last year, where, you know, the group was quite affected by a number of events. The story in Australia and New Zealand, I think we've spoken about it before, the trading conditions in those regions, you know, last year were hard hit by, you know, the extended lockdowns. And so it's quite a relatively low phase. And so we saw, you know, higher growth rates in the current period because of base effects, but also, you know, sales just coming in ahead of, you know, pre-pandemic levels speaks to continued, you know, positive momentum from that region. And, yeah, overall trends, I think, are showing, you know, further normalization in consumer behavior. Online sales were down about 30% for the period, and I guess generally across the industry, there's more footfall in store compared to, you know, internet-based spending. So yeah, nothing wrong there. It's just overall a decent update. You know, EPS tracking ahead of full year expectations, and so is turnover and sales.
Yeah, I'm looking good. And I take the point. We are going back to retail outlets, so we can perhaps shop a little less online. Simtumbele Bopela, investment analyst, FNB Wealth and Investments. Appreciate the early morning. And that's our question today on our LinkedIn and Twitter. Your preferred food retailer on the JSE? Spa, ShopRite, Pick and Pay, or Woolies? Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
Your money gives a damn. If it could protest and sign petitions, your money would. But your money can do more than that. When you invest in Stanlib's infrastructure investment fund, beyond getting solid returns, you are helping to build a more sustainable future through job creation and positive economic growth. Damn right you are. Invest for more impact at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Joining now with Skulk Lowe, PSG Old Oak is where you find him. Skulk, appreciate the early morning. I'm looking at a chart right now. I'm sure that you have looked at as well recently. Big tech in the US over the last 12 months. I mean, you've got Meta down 2/3, Netflix off a half, Amazon 45%. Heck, even Microsoft down a quarter. The only one that is kind of flat is Apple, and it's down 0.16%. I suppose you'll give it to them and say they're flat. I mean, are you looking at this and thinking juicy opportunity? Here, perhaps in some of these, you know, once were high flying large tech stocks?
Good morning, Simon. Well, I think short answer is no, because I see all your graphs, and I'll raise you the PE graph, which I've actually drawn up over the past 25 years. And, you know, let's not look at the 2000s, because we know what the scenario was for tech stocks back then. It was a totally different scenario. But I look at the recent, you know, PE ratios on the NASDAQ, and I say recent over the past 3 years. And I think a lot of investors out there, people in the media are stating, well, this is, you know, you need to start buying the dips. I mean, we're not trading at the 42 times PE ratios we've traded in December 2020. I mean, 25, as you just, if I can paraphrase, I mean, it's juicy. Mm-hmm. There's just two things in a PE. There's the price and the earnings. And you just mentioned the likes of the Metas. You mentioned the Apples. Now, a few things that stood out for me, and I went through all the reportings, you know, recent reportings, and you know, besides the fact that, you know, people are getting laid off. I mean, this is the start. And I think this is my message this morning, you know, literally starting off with the message is stating, be very careful thinking that this is the end of a cycle, you know, end of a downward cycle. That's what I want to allude to, because this can effectively be the beginning of, of a cycle. You know, when we look at the beginning of 2000, it took these tech companies quite a few years to rectify the let's call it the sins of the past. Amazon, I mean, we just saw them come out recently with the results. They mentioned they're going to lay off 10,000 people. Might sound like a lot. Just remember, they employ about 1.5 million people. So this is not even 1% of their total workforce. But what stood out for me was when you look at their income, and more specific, their EBIT, or, you know, operating income, you know, that's a serious decrease, $2.5 billion. You know, dollars, well, down down to $2.5 billion from 4.9. That's close to $2.5 billion decrease. That tells me, you know, we need to look at the E in this PE. You know, the forward, the current P of 25 might therefore not be, you know, that juicy, as you said. Meta, same story. They're actually planning to retrench or fire 11,000 people. That's slightly bigger. I mean, that's 13% of their workforce. Again, very similar story. Their net income was down nearly 52%. This, and they actually state that they don't see this as the end. They actually feel that there's definitely more to come. And very similar trends came through. Microsoft and Apple, you mentioned Apple. And yes, they still managed to increase their revenue, but they did state, you know, the iPhone 14s are not going, I mean, the sales are not going as planned. Tim Cook specifically said it, you know, we would have grown double digits if it wasn't for the strong dollar. Very similar to what Microsoft saying, strong dollar, higher interest rates. And this is to me is worrying, and I think that the general thread or the golden thread between these companies, they all mention that they feel there is more pain to come. And literally, I just want to end off. I think you need to remember what these companies are selling. They're selling to the consumer specifically. You know, the biggest market is the U.S. consumer. And the most interesting thing that came out for me this week was, you know, the release of the U.S. consumer debt data. And, you know, this is the first time in, you know, let's call it 14 years, you know, since 2008, when we know what the U.S. consumer did. Where we see this type of jump in, you know, household debt added, you know, $351 billion over. This increase is the largest one we've seen since 2008. You know, credit card debt, you know, that rose 15%. This is the highest in 20 years. You know, you can see the U.S. consumer are struggling with this inflation, and what are they doing? They're actually increasing their debt. Be very careful, you know, all the listeners out there, thinking that this is juicy buying opportunities. I think this should seriously be monitored.
I take your point. It's about those E's. I mean, you know, price one thing, but it's the E's, and those E's potentially coming down. And I'm looking at the NASDAQ back at that 2000. From top to bottom, it was close on 2 years. We could only be halfway through this. And certainly, I mean, the risk of recession in the US is real. Things could get tougher. And frankly, we can spend less at Amazon, and we can buy less fancy phones, etc. Always a pleasure. Skulklo, PSG, Old Oak, appreciate the early morning.
Hear that? Nothing. Your money can do more when it blocks out the noise, as hard as it is these days. When you invest in the Stanley Balanced Cautious Fund, we manage the risks so that you can see stable inflation-beating returns through market cycles. Invest with more certainty at stanley.com/more. StanLib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting with Luigi Morinas. He's a portfolio manager at PPS Investments. Luigi, appreciate the early morning. Just talking some of the tech stocks there with my previous guest. He's worried about the ease. But a recent note that you put out, in talking local here, you're saying actually our local market actually is looking fairly decent. A PE of around 8 times. It's a forward PE. And the earnings, as we're seeing from results, and it might be some base effect, but the earnings are ticking up, which is kind of directly inverse to what we seeing in big tech in the US.
Morning, Simon. Hi. Is that is correct? We've actually been surprised more recently how well markets have have performed, especially over the last 6 weeks post that report going out. But I think there is quite a difference in South Africa with the levels that we are at. And accordingly, we've held an overweight position in SA equities in our portfolios compared to an underweight position in global equities in our portfolios. Historically, in South Africa, you start at a kind of forward PE level at 8%. You get a very good long-term return, but I think we need to stress that long-term return. Unfortunately, as we know, market returns are up in a straight line, but it's always helpful if you start from a low valuation level. I mean, that's what we do see as a bit of an opportunity in South Africa at the moment.
That's a great point, and it is always the point. A great company, make no bones about it, but a great company at a great price, that makes for a great investment. I mean, it's that valuation which is so critical. And we don't often, you know, it doesn't come around that often where we actually get really attractive valuations on the JSE.
That is true. So when we do have the opportunity, we need to take advantage of it. But I do agree with the previous guest to some extent that it's not that easy. I think what has been complicated has been the sensitivity of markets and the volatility that goes with that. Of course, you would have seen we had a slightly better inflation number from the U.S. than our consensus predicted, and we got a very strong return from that. And so we need to be careful going forward. What if we get an inflation number weaker or not as good compared to markets? Well, we're going to see that sensitivity again. So we must be careful. We need to be kind of well diversified in portfolios and not just think that it's an easy opportunity now that valuation levels are lower. Because there will definitely, well, it's very likely that there will be some volatility in markets going forward as well.
Yeah, the point you make, markets don't go in straight lines on the way up. Talking, staying with local, are there certain sectors that are more attractive? Are you and your team more sort of a bottom up and sort of a sector agnostic if the valuation is right?
We tend to leave that to our underlying managers. Remember, PTSB are multi managers. We give them the scope to be able to do that. And so we generally kind of sector neutral. We've seen in the past that it's very difficult to be consistently correct. I think what often happens and what gets highlighted is that you make one call correctly, but then making the opposing call when it's time to get out is not that simple. So we look at the asset class as a whole rather than being more specific in general. From time to time, there are some opportunities which people try to participate in, but in general, we're more agnostic around that.
Yeah,
and more difficult than us, I think people think it is to get that right consistently.
Yeah, and you make the point, it's two calls, the call to get in, the call to get out, and you've got to be right twice, and that makes it twice as difficult.
Exactly.
Quick last question, I mean, local bonds, they're also offering decent yields. I mean, are you picking up weight in local bonds at all?
Yes, we've been very constructive on local bonds for a long time now. Of course, more recently, we've seen yields tick up a little bit, which is obviously has a negative capital effect. But over the long term, I think we can pick up a 10-year bond that is at 11% or above 11%, as you can see at the moment. Even at the high inflation level that we have, we're still getting inflation plus 3% real return at those levels. So we think as a long-term investment, actually for most investors, it's a very good opportunity to buy some bonds at the moment. Again, like I mentioned, with equities, there is, of course, some volatility. Unfortunately, you don't get that 11% per year, every year, in a straight line again. But if you can weather a bit of short-term volatility, I think over the longer term, locking in that type of real returns will be good, I think, for any portfolio.
We'll leave it there. That's Luigi Marinus, Portfolio Manager, PPS Investments. Appreciate the early morning. That's it for today. Yesterday, we're chatting with Mikko Santangelo from Independent Securities. We had him on the line from Australia, and we were talking around growth stocks that are trading at some decentish valuations. And he wasn't talking big tech. I mean, he mentioned Adobe, but he also mentioned CrowdStrike Canadian Goose was another. So these are growth stocks, but perhaps not the typical ones, and certainly not the ones Skulk and I were chatting about a moment ago. We asked, are you buying some of these? Almost 2/3 of you said nope, not yet. A quarter said a little but carefully, while the rest of you were very bullish on this space. Have your vote, have your say, Twitter and LinkedIn.
This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Norberkle, Eleanor, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. We're talking to Premier Foods.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.